The following shiur is recorded, edited, and presented to you by Kol HaLashon. We wish you an enjoyable and meaningful time listening.
Good morning. This is the Torah Way, Northwest London shiur. It is Yud Beis Sivan, Tov Shin Pei, Thursday the 4th of June. My name is Rabbi Jeremy Golka, and this is a Parsha shiur. I'd like to share with you four ideas on this week's Parsha. Parshas Noso is, of course, the longest parsha in the whole Torah. It has a whopping 176 pesukim. Interestingly, there are two other things which also have a connection to that number, 176. The longest mesechta in Shas is Baba Basra, 176 daf. It's debatable if it's the longest in words or not. Famous anecdote with the Vilna Gaon. But either way, it's the longest number of pages, 176 daf. And also the longest capital Tehillim, Kuf Yud Tes, is 176 Pesukim. What is special about 176? The answer is, I once saw, that 176 is the Aleph base, is the number of letters in the Aleph base, 22 letters, times by 8. 8 always represents the Malam and Ateva. 6 is the natural world, 7 is the natural world injected with a bit of ruchnias, Shabbos, etc., etc., and 8 is lemala min hateva. 176 represents totality and transcendence. And we see this in three areas. We see it in Torah Shebichtav, in the Parshas Noso, the longest sedra has 176 sukkim. We see it in Torah Sheba'al Peh, the Gemara, the Bab Basra, the longest number of dafim, 176. And yes, it starts at daf base, but Lamaita, it stops at 176. And Kapitel Kuf Yud Tes has 176 psukim in it. What does this represent? The Torah totally transcends the world. Torah Shebichtav, Torah Shebaal Peh, and also Tehillim, which is our connection with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it totally transcends the world. And Torah, which is the sort of the Torah Shebichtav and the Torah Shebaal Peh, are beyond the natural and are essentially spiritual. And so too, our soaring emotions and petitions and praises of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, which is Sefer Tehillim, are beyond, they sort of transcend beyond the here and now. That connects as well to Shavuot, because Shavuot, there's a famous vat that they say over in the name of Rav Rudeman. Rav Rudeman says, the Gemara in Pesachim, Samaches, Amad Beis, and by the way, I've got a sheet in front of me, but for those who are listening on the phone or online, if they email me, I will happily send them the sheet, j.golker@gmail.com, so you'll have the handout. But the Gemara says in Pesachim, Daf Samaches, Amad Beis, that Rav Yosef, Beyoma Da'atzar Ta'oma, Rav Yosef on the day of Shavuos would say, Avdili igla tilsa, prepare for me a choice piece of meat. Oh my, loy hayom, because if it wasn't for this day, the kogarim, kama yosef ikka b'shuka, there'd be many yosefs in the shuk, which is normally understood to mean, I'd be a regular Joe. I'd be a regular yosef. I wouldn't be anything special were it not for the day of Matan Torah. Says Rav Rudeman, really? Rabbi Yosef, the great Amira, he wouldn't be a regular person. He would at least be, if it were not for Matan Torah, a professor Yosef, a doctor Yosef, a CEO Yosef, etc., etc. Why is he called, why would he say I'd be a regular Yosef? Says Rav Rudeman, what he means is this. Sometimes people behave differently in different settings. How they behave at work is different to the way they behave at home, which is different to the way they behave when they're with their friends or in school or in shul or whatever it may be. Torah has the ability to channel a person and to focus him that he becomes a consistent individual. He's no longer fragmented. He's no longer disparate and inconsistent. Were not for this day of Matan Torah, kama Yosef ikka b'shuka, there'd be lots of me. Me, Yosef, there'd be lots of me all over the place in different areas. Here I behave like this, here I behave. There'd be lots of different Yosefs. I wouldn't be consistent. And therefore, he's praising what Torah is saying. Torah achieves that focus for him, that channeling of his purpose and his mission. And that really is what the 176 represents. 176 represents, found in Torah Shebichtav, Torah Shebaal Peh, and also our connection to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, i.e. in Sefer Tehillim, it represents totality and transcendence. The Yiddishkeit and Torah creates a whole way of living. It's not fragmented, it's not inconsistent and compartmentalized. Okay, let's move on to a second idea. There is a famous Rashi in Parshas Noso. Rashi says in Parshas Noso that the Nesi'im, when their approach with the Chanukas HaMizbeach was very different to the Chanukas HaMishkan. Says Rashi in Bamidbar Zayin Perek Gimel, Pasuk Gimel, Omer Rebbe Nosson, Ma'ra'u HaNesi'im Nisnadev Kan Tchila. How come when it came to Parshas Noso and they were dedicating the Mizbeach, bringing the Karbonos, the Nesi'im jumped in and came first? But yet, of the Melechet HaMishkan, Lo Yisnadev Tchila, when it came to the Mishkan, they didn't. Elakach Omru HaNesi'im. This is what the Nesi'im said. Yisnadvu tzibur mashi yisnadvu. Let the tzibur give whatever they need to give. U'mashi mechasrin, onu mashlimin, and whatever is short, we will complete it. Kiven shero sheshlimu tzibur es hakol. When they saw that tzibur has given pretty much everything, shenem v'hamalocha ha'yisodayim, omru me'asim man lonu lasos. What is left for us? Heviu es avne hasheyam v'amiluim lo'esed v'lachayshin, etc. v'lachayin yisnadvu kan tchila. When it came to the Mishkan, they nearly lost out giving at all. Just at the end, they managed to give something. So therefore, when it came to the Mizbeach, they got in there quickly. A well-known Rashi. Arthur Mordechai Miller, of Gates Etzem, in his beautiful work, Shabbos Shiurim, why are we so critical of the Nesi'im? It's very difficult to understand. Picture the analogous scenario. You're at a fundraising dinner. And just before the chair of the dinner fundraising committee is about to make his pitch that everyone should give generously to this cause, and he knows that he's got to say £1 million to raise. Imagine just before he gets to the podium, a very wealthy, benevolent philanthropist calls over the dinner chairman and says, listen, you're about to make your pitch. You've got to raise £1 million. I guarantee you that hopefully you'll raise a lot. And whatever is missing a short of that £1 million, I'll make it up. You raise £1 million from here, perfect. You raise 900,000, I'll give you 100,000. You raise £500,000, I'll give you £500,000. What would the response be of this dinner chairman? He would be so grateful. He would be exuberant. He would hug the fellow. He's got his £1 million goal. Aren't the Nesi'im doing the same? They're saying whatever shortfall there is, they'll make up. That's the question that Rav Mordechai Miller asks, a well-known question. Let's take a look at a parasha in Novi. In Shmuel Beis, Perek Zayin, the pasuk says, "Vayhiki Yoshev Hamelech bebeisoy v'Hashem hiniach le mitzaviv mikol oivav." David Hamelech finally finds some respite, briefly, from his enemies that surround him. "Vayeyme Hamelech al Nosan Hanovi," and David Hamelech says to Nosan Hanovi, Re'eino anoichi yeshev bebeis arozim, ba'aren ho'elikim yeshev b'seichayiria. It's not right. I'm sitting in a very beautiful palace with cedar wood, an opulent palace, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Aaron, is sitting b'seichayiria in a curtain, a tent of curtain. It's not right. It's not appropriate. I want to build the Beit HaMikdash. And the answer came back from Nosan Hanavi that you will not build. Lo'i atos divne. You're not going to build, but your son Shlomo HaMelech will build. Interestingly, the Yalkut Shimoni is very critical of David. This is the Loshon of the Yalkut. Lo yatos sivne, you won't build. Says the Yalkut in Shmuel Beis Remez Kuf Mem Dalet, Ato higdam to kveit chol kveidi. You, David HaMelech, have put your own covered in front of my covered. Shemisharoisa atzmo chayeshe v'beit harozim. Because when you see yourself sitting in a Caesar palace, a beautiful palace, Tovat Binyan Beit HaMikdash, that's when you decide you want to build the Beit HaMikdash. Avos Shlomo Bincha Maktim Kvodi L'Chvodei. Shlomo HaMelech, your son, he puts his own honor after mine. He puts my honor, the honor of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, before his own honor. Shenema B'Shono HaChas Esrei B'Yerech Bul Kolob HaBayis. First of all, Shlomo HaMelech builds the Beit HaMikdash. V'Achakach is based on Bono Shlomo. So the Medrash is very critical of David HaMelech. You, David HaMelech, worry about your own covert first. You build your own palace, and then you worry about a Beit HaMikdash. Shlomo HaMelech does it the other way around. Why the criticism of David HaMelech? He has respite from his enemies. He built his palace. And then he sees, he notices, and he realizes it's not appropriate. He wants to do the right thing. Why the criticism of David HaMelech? Why the criticism of the Nesi'im? The answer of Mordechai HaMelech gives is this. The request should have been spontaneous. It was not just a realization that there was a lack of appropriate housing, as it were, for HaKadosh Baruch Hu, in comparison with his own opulent palace, but rather, it should have been a spontaneous, instinctive desire to build the Beit HaMikdash, not just something born out of a contrast, a realization that he had a nice home and the Aron did not. It should be instinctive, a spontaneous desire on his part. Because we see that with the Beit HaMikdash. We see it with the Mishkan. The Pasuk says, Dabel b'nei Yisrael v'yikchu li truma. That means that asher yidvenu libay. It should be a spontaneous desire. There should be an element of self in it. Instinctive, spontaneous. And we see that, interestingly, in another place. Because the Pasuk says in Pashas Truma, with regards to the Mizbeach, v'im Mizbeach avonim ta'aseli. And Rashi famously says, why does the Pasuk use the Lashon of im? Im is, it means if, when. You haven't got a choice to build the Mizbeach. You've got to build the Mizbeach. Says Rashi there in Truman Perek Chav Pasuk Chafes, Rabbi Shmuel Omer, called im ve'im shebateira rishus. Every time it says im in the Torah, it's a rishus. If you want to, yes. If not, not. Chutz mishleisha, apart from three times. One of them is im mizbeach avonim ta'aseli. V'chein, what's the second one? Im kesef talve. If you want to lend money, what do you mean if you want to lend? If you've got money and an oni comes, you've got a chiv to lend him money. And thirdly, in Takriv Minchas Bikurim, the Minchas HaOmer. That is referring to the Omer. Again, Shehi Chovah says Rashi. Bal Karchach Ein Im Halalu Tzlui. And these Ims are not contingent. They're not possibly yes, possibly no. Elavadoin. Beloshen Kasher Him Meshamshin. Really, the way you interpret it is Kasher, not if, but when. When you build a Mizbech, when you give money to the poor person, when you bring the Minchas HaOmer for the Bikurim. Now, the Maharal, Gur Aryeh, asks a striking and obvious question, really. If that indeed is Pshat, that in these three places, when it says im, it doesn't mean im, but it means kasher, there's a chiyuv, you have to do it, then why use the expression im? Just say kasher. Why does the Torah use the Lashon of im? Say, you have to do it. Says the Maharal, an amazing Yisrael. Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, Yesh lefarish mashakot of Lashon Im, af agav d'chayvahem, b'pnei isha im yaasem e'chayvah, but if a person does it out of duty, out of obligation, ki'ilu mekayim agderet ha-melech, ein hadov ad-erot l'HaKadosh Baruch Hu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't want you to do it out of duty. He wants us to do things out of our own desire, but we want to do it. And therefore, in all three areas, the Mizbeach, loans to the poor, and Omer, there has to be an element of self. The Mizbeach, the service HaKadosh Baruch Hu, must involve a person's own free will and desire to do it. In loans to the Aniyim, in Kesef Talve, it must involve and be inspired by a person's own compassion. And third of all, the Omer, an offering of thanks for a person's new harvest, it's got to be genuine and heartfelt, not because you have to do it. I'm reminded of the story that Nebuch, a couple, were having shalom bayis problems. They went to the Rav, and the wife complained tearfully to the Rav that her husband never buys her anything, no gifts, not even flowers on Erev Shabbos. The Rav, afterwards, spoke to the man and said, why didn't you give flowers? He shrugged his shoulders. He says, I'm telling you, you have to give flowers every Erev Shabbos. You have an obligation, you've got to give flowers every Erev Shabbos. That Motzei Shabbos, the first Motzei Shabbos after they met, the wife comes running to the Rav, tearfully again, saying, it was terrible, my husband doesn't get it. The Rav said, what happened? What's the matter? She said to him that an Erev Shabbos, the husband came home with a bunch of flowers and then walked over to his wife and said, here, the Rav told me to give you these. Kippish. What the wife wants, of course, is the husband to walk.
Call Halashon.
Want to give flowers, to do it spontaneously, not out of duty. And therefore, that explains the criticism of David HaMelech and of the Nesi'im, says Mordechai HaMelech. He explains the criticism of David HaMelech. Of course, it was very noble what he did. However, a higher level should have been to spontaneously, instinctively want to do it, and not just because you realize the contrast of your own opulent palace compared to the Urios where they are in this house. And so to the Nisaean. It's not a question of shortfall and sort of completing a building fund. It's a desire to want to contribute. And that was what was lacking. Okay, let's press on to a third idea. When we read Parshas Noso, it's of course a very long seder, as I said. But really, the Bar Mitzvah boy don't have too much rachmonis for him, because a lot of the psukim are repetitive. All 12 Nisim, you repeat the 6, 7, or 8 psukim, whatever it is, 12 times. He learns it once, you're pretty much there. You just got to change the name each time. Interestingly, the 12th Shevet Naphtali, the Pasuk says, the Yom Shneim also Yom on the 12th day of Nisnamin, Nafti lives named Naphtali, the Nafti of Naphtali came to bring his karbonos. And what was his name? Achira ben Enon, Pasuk says, Bamid B'Zayin, Pasuk Ayin Ches. Okay. You're in shul, you hear Kriyas HaTorah, halavai we should be in shul, but we hear Kriyas HaTorah, and you hear the name, Nasi Livnei Naphtali Achira Ben Enon. Then you think to yourself, really? What is his name? Achira Ben Enon. Achira, my brother is bad? What is the name Achira Ben Enon? So there's a very beautiful Arachaim who gives some background to explain this very unusual name, Achira. Which father would want to call a son, my brother is bad? That's a disaster for sibling rivalry. Why call him Achira? That's one question. Another question, again, on the back of Shavuos, we lay in the Aseret HaDibros on Shavuos. An interesting exercise. Imagine, at the Shabbos table, an interesting exercise to undertake. Construct your own Aseret HaDibros. You're going for a walk. What would you put in the top 10 commandments? What would make it into your top 10? I would imagine there'd be lots of similarities. Anochi Hashem Elokecha, the foundation of Emunah, the Yelecha, maybe Shabbos would feature, maybe Kibud Av Ve'Em, maybe Lo Tirtzach Lo Tinof, which is a foundation for a functioning society. But would Lo Tachmod make it into your top 10? What is so central, what is so pivotal about Lo Tachmod being jealous that makes it into the Aseret HaDibros? Furthermore, Ibn Ezra asks, how can the Torah command on an emotion? Again, it's an instinctive feeling that we feel. If I'm jealous, surely it's just a natural emotion. If I'm into cars and I see my neighbor drive along with a fancy new car, with a bright red Lamborghini. So if I'm into cars, I would drool at that car. It's an instinctive response, surely. How can we not feel jealous? There's Ibn Ezra, he was a marshal. Imagine you get a peasant, a farmer. He's never really been beyond the confines of his farm. And he sees one day the princess is coming to the village. It's not Ola al-Das, it's not part of his reckoning, it's not on his radar that he would ever marry the princess. That's beyond the realm of the possible. Well, similarly, says Ibn Ezra, a person has to realize that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives me exactly what I need to serve him. And what he gives to another person is not on my radar. It's not necessary for me, and it's not good for me. The marshal I always give in school to the boys and girls, imagine you have two students who are doing an art exam. And you have an invigilator who is controlling the exam. And he gives the first student his assignment. And his assignment is to paint a beautiful autumnal scene of rolling hills, of brown trees and green leaves. He gives that person green and brown paint. And the second boy, his assignment is to paint a beautiful beach scene of golden sand and of blue sea and blue sky. And he gives that boy yellows and blues. Halfway through the exam, they've got many hours to do it. The first student looks at the second student and says to the invigilator, it's not fair. I want yellows and blues. Or the other one says, hey, it's not fair. I want greens and browns. Well, the invigilator will say to the boys, no, you don't need, he'll say to the first boy, you don't need yellows and blues, you've got what you need. To paint your masterpiece, you have exactly what you need. And so to the second boy. And that's life. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives us exactly what we need, be it our life circumstances, our intellect, our ability, our tools, our talent, whatever it may be. HaKadosh Baruch Hu has given us the perfect package for each and every one of us, tailor-made, that we can fulfill our potential. And what somebody else has is irrelevant to me. And not only irrelevant, but it's bad for me. The middah of Naftali was seva rotzei, was to be satisfied. To be satisfied with one's own lot and not to be jealous. He wanted to instill this in his family. He wanted to imbue this in the children to such an extent that he called the child Achi Ra. What does that mean? That what I have is good for me, but what my brother has is bad for me. And he therefore called the child Achi Ra to imbue the middah of Svarot in Naftali. That's why we make the bracha she'osali kol tzarki. Well, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives him whatever I need. Person once went to the Chofetz Chaim. Chofetz Chaim said to him, how are you? And the man said, you know, it wouldn't hurt if I had a bit more money. Chofetz Chaim says, yes, it would hurt. Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave you exactly what you need. And therefore, that explains the name Achira. Naftali gave the name in the family because it conveyed the middah of Naftali of Sevar Rotzen to be satisfied with their lot. And therefore they told the children, what's good for you is good for you, but you don't need what your brother has, Achira. And that's why Lo Tachmod goes into the Aseret HaDibros, because it really is so central, because it's the, if you like, the practical of the theory of Anochi Hashem Elokecha. The theory is that I believe in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The practical application of that is to say that whatever HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives me, and that's what I have to serve Him, and therefore what other people have is irrelevant to me and bad for me. I don't need it, because I have what I need to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Okay. That's why, by the way, the Gemara says in Shabbos, Kufim and Beis on the base, the Rekev Atzomois Kina, the Pasuk says. Says the Gemara, what does that mean? Kol Mishi Yesh Le Kina Belibay, anyone who is consumed with jealousy, Atzmoisov Markivin, his bones will rot after he passes away. What does that mean? So they explain, Midah Keneged Midah, that the word Atzomois is connected with the word Atzmius. Atzmius means your own self, your own personality, your own independence. And it's connected. A person, even today, you know, if you say, I feel it very deeply, you say, I feel it in my bones. The bones represent your very essence. If a person is jealous of another person, he's denying his own independence. And therefore, okay, so that's the third idea. One final idea is an amazing short piece I saw in the writings of Rav Chaim Kanievsky. He has a beautiful sefer on Chumash called Taima Dekra. And I came across this question. It's a striking question. You know, all the years you do Parshas Noso, and you come across again the episodes of the Soita. Yeah, the Soita who is accused of carrying out an adulterous liaison with another man. She's misyached with him. She's warned. And Rav Chaim Kanievsky asked a very posh question. She's brought to the Beit HaMikdash, and she has to drink the Meis Soita to verify whether or not she's indeed Tahira or Tamea. Ask Rav Chaim Kanievsky a question which, I must be honest with you, I've never ever thought of. Does the Isha Soita make a bracha on the water that she drinks? What an interesting question. Does the Soita make a bracha on the water, the Meis Soita, the waters of Soita that she drinks? So Rav Chaim Kanievsky says this. What type of bracha would it be? Is it a birchat hanenin? Is it a birchat hashlach? If it's a birchat hanenin, says Rav Chaim, then pshita she'en mevareches. It's posher that she would make a bracha, because kima she'neisim dover ma'ar l'seicha mayim e'denanit. Because it's called mayim merorim. It's called bitter water. You don't make a bracha on something which she's not going to enjoy, which is bitter for her. So if it's a birchat hanenin, she wouldn't make a bracha. What about a birchat hamitzvah? A birchat hamitzvah, before you do a mitzvah, you always make a bracha. Well, if she's tamei vadai, says Reb Chaim, if she was definitely tamei and she did commit the crime, then ein mevarecha, she's not going to make the bracha. She'ein mevarchin ala einish. You don't make a bracha where you're going to get punished. If she's tamei, she's going to be killed. Like we see the Rishonim say with Chai v'misas beisin, they don't make bracha. What if she says, I'm tahira? She is adamant that she is tahir. Nothing went wrong. Nothing happened. Says Reb Chaim, Afibi yedas b'bir she'itahira, kiven she'tchilas inyona ba'aveira, since the outset of the process involved in aveira, she must have done yichud, She was warned not to. She went ahead and did yichud. She secluded herself with another man. That was Navera. Since the outset involved in Navera, you don't make a bracha. What's the raya for that? He brings the tshuva of the Rashba. The Rashba in tshuva Siman Yudches says, Ein mevarchin al hashavas hagzeilah v'chazoras ribbit. When you return an item that was stolen, or you return ribbit, you don't make a bracha. Even though it's a mitzvah, be meshiv the gzeilah, even though it's a mitzvah to do chazoras ribbit. Why? Why don't you make a bracha? Because the outset must have involved an avera, theft, lending the ribbit. And therefore, even though she's adamant that she's tahira, since the beginning of the process must have involved yichud, which is an avera, she won't make a bracha. And therefore, concludes Reb Chaim that the isha seita, excuse me, does not make a bracha. Let's just summarize the four ideas that we said this morning in Parshas Noso. Number one is the longest parsha, 176 psukim. Notably, that the longest Masechta Bava Basra has 176 daf, and the longest Kapitel Tehillim has 176 psukim. What's the connection? That it displays totality, because there are 22 letters in the Aleph Beis, Aleph to Tav, like A to Z, it's an expression of totality, and it also is the totality which has transcendence. A always represents Lamalim and Ateva. So you see that all of Torah transcends this world, whether it's Torah Shebichtav, Parshas Noso, Torah Shebal Peh, Bava Basra, or even our connections to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, which are our emotions, our praises of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, our tefillahs of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, which is Sefer Tehillim, all transcend over and above, beyond everything. And therefore, an expression of the totality of Yiddishkeit, how it affects us fully, like we saw, the Rabbi Yosef says, is that I would be a disparate individual were it not for the Yom Matan Torah. Now I have the Torah that creates a sort of a wholesomeness, a unity in my purpose and direction. Second idea we saw was Ramot Chamila, the spontaneous desire, the criticism of the Nesim. So when it came to the Chanukah HaMishkan, they said they'll make up the shortfall. And in this week's Parsha, they got in there at the beginning to avoid missing out. Why the criticism? The philanthropist at the dinner ceremony would make that gesture. The chairman of the finance committee would be very happy with that. And why the criticism of David HaMelech when he wants to build the Beit HaMikdash? Yalkut is critical of him. The answer is because HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants it to be a spontaneous desire, an instinctive want to give and to contribute. And that's why the Lashon of Pesukim of Im Mizbeach, Ha'aseli, etc. is written in the Lashon of Im, even though it's a Chayva, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu is saying, I want you to do it, but to desire to want to do it and not to have to do it. Thirdly, we saw the beautiful Arach Chaim. Arach Chaim says that the Nasi of Naphtali was Achira ben Enon. Why that name? Because Achira connotes the idea, the midah of Naphtali, of Sevar Rotzon, of being satiated and satisfied with one's lot, and an understanding and awareness that what my brother has is bad for me. It's good for him, but it's bad for me. Because the Kodesh Baruch Hu gives us exactly what we need to serve him and to fill, to paint our masterpiece in this world. And that's why Lo Sachmos is in the Aseret HaDibros, because it goes to the very root of our purpose and our mission in this world. And lastly, the idea of Chaim Kanievsky, the question of whether or not the Seita makes a bracha on the Mei Seita, great question. And the answer is that she doesn't. Because if it's a Birchat HaNe'anin, she doesn't get benefit, it's bitter water. And if it's a Birchat HaMitzah, if she's Temer, you don't make a bracha on an Einish. And if she is adamant that she's Tahira, she still would not make a bracha, because it began with a Maisa Aveira. And like Chazaras Ribbis and Hashavas Kazela, which also may involve a mitzvah now, that began the process with an Aveira, you don't make a bracha on it, says the Rashba in Yudches and Chulas. Well, so too with Meisota, she would not make a bracha on that Meisota, even if she is adamant that she is Tahira. Thank you very much for listening, and I wish you all a very good Shabbos. Kol Tov.
The shiur you've listened to was recorded and edited for you by Kol HaLashon. You're invited to continue listening at any time to all the shiurim and drushos in all topics by all the Rabbanim on Kol HaLashon.